This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here, Hard Drive Radio, hanging out at beautiful Jones Beach for the Vans Warped Tour 2017, hanging out right now in the Bad Omens bus with Noah. How's it going, man?
It's going really well. It's not as hot as it has been the past few days, so it's nice.
I can only imagine, you know, their tour always ends up going through like Arizona and Texas and all those really hot places and the hottest parts of the year. I don't know why they do this. I feel like they just enjoy torturing the band sometimes a little bit.
It seems that way. Luckily, we hopped on a little late because we were in Europe before this, so we missed all of those rougher, hotter states.
How was Europe? Where'd you go?
Europe was great, man. We went all through the UK, like London, Birmingham. We went to Zurich, we went to Milan, Italy, and we went to Germany.
Beautiful. How were the crowds?
The crowds were amazing. They were honestly about as good as they are here in America. Some of them were even better.
I always like to pose to bands the questions. They go to the festivals in Europe, and then they play the festivals here in the U.S., and like, you know, who does it better? Because I feel like we've really stepped up our festival game, you know, in like the past decade or so, but I still feel like Europe kind of beats us out a little bit.
I mean, it's hard to tell because our first festival we ever played was in Europe on that past run we just did. But so far, Warped Tour has been, you know, equally as intense and badass.
Let's kind of hop back in the Wayback Machine a little bit and kind of introduce your band to the Hard Drive audience. Give us a little bit about how you guys all got together and started playing together.
Well, about 4 years ago now, the band started when I was 17. I was just working, doing front desk in a tattoo shop, and I was living on my manager's couch, essentially. And I had a little interface and a guitar and a laptop with some recording gear, and I just started making demos. From there, you know, I got my best friend involved, our guitar player, Nick. And you know, once I finished the EP, you know, it came to the conclusion that we needed a full band. And around that time, we actually got noticed by management with the EP. And through that EP, we got management, and then the band kind of grew, and Nick introduced me to our now bass player, Vincent, and Vincent introduced us to our now guitar player, Jolly, our second guitar player, and our drummer, Folio. He actually did a video audition online, and he absolutely crushed it. He was the first person that we auditioned and the first person we picked. So, yeah, through that, it's been growing very fast and very, you know, organically in a sense ever since we got management and ever since we got signed with Sumerian.
Tell me a little bit about the feeling that you get when you get the call from the guys at Sumerian Records and, like, we're interested in you.
It was very intense, you know, and it was honestly, not to sound too ahead of myself, but it was all part of the plan. You know, I had been touring and playing in bands for, you know, all before that, like, throughout my teenage years growing up. And, you know, it wasn't something that in my position I could afford to, like, tour in a band and do all that grinding stuff to get to a record deal. And, you know, that's why I did the writing for an EP to try to get noticed by a label and hoped my best that, you know, the writing would do it justice and get that recognition that it deserved earlier than a lot of bands are, you know, able to get, unfortunately. And luckily for us, they were interested and they loved it. And it was really, really great feeling.
So you guys, you got your EP, you get signed, it's time to start working on a full-length album. Were you touring the entire time you're writing? A lot of bands like to write while they're on the road. Other people like to sit at home and like coop themselves up and not talk to anyone in their writing. So how did you write this album?
Well, funny enough, the EP actually was never released. No one ever heard anything but one single that was on it that we put on the internet on Bandcamp for a couple months. so we had never performed the EP. We actually got signed before we had even met Folio or Jolly. Jolly was still in Sweden at the time because he's from Sweden. And, you know, again, I guess the songwriting just spoke for itself enough that they took a risk on us and they trusted us. And I'm pretty positive and can say that they weren't mistaken because we've done pretty well so far. And I'm very proud of the band and everyone involved. And, you know, ever since then, it's kind of been blowing up. As far as the writing process goes, we all got together shortly after the contract was signed with Sumerian Records, and we basically locked ourselves in our drummer, Nick Folio, his basement for 30 days, and for about 10 hours a day, we would write and record, because Jolly and I both record and produce outside of the band, so we have the means to, like, do demos. And, yeah, just 10 hours a day, we were just writing and revamping songs from the EP, and then we wrote, you know, the half the album is new songs that weren't on the EP.
Where did you go to record once the writing process was completed?
The following month after we did all the demos in the basement, we went up two states to New Jersey. We recorded with Will Putney, and we were there for about, I think, 32 days. We stayed there, great lodging, a huge studio, huge complex, two stories, you know, big drum room, several. They even had, like, a studio that we could put our own studio in and set up and record and work on stuff while we were, like, you know, after hours when they all went home and stuff to fine-tune the song. So it was a very good experience when it came to fine-tuning and writing the album and having time to do everything we wanted to do.
Was this your first experience in, like, a big professional recording studio?
It wasn't my first. I've worked with Drew Folk in the past, and also a friend of mine named Johnny Frank. He used to play in Attack Attack. Those are the only two producers I've worked with before we worked with Will Putney. But as far as, you know, those experiences were concerned, it was a little different because I wasn't a songwriter, and I didn't sing, and the songwriter in that band played guitar, so I was really just there hanging out the whole time. I wasn't doing anything, and so I guess in that sense, this was my first real, like, studio experience because I was actually hands-on and totally involved.
How did you make that transition from, you know, being a guy who didn't sing to all of a sudden being, you know, the face of the band, the guy in front of everyone? Was that a hard change for you at all?
It wasn't too difficult. I mean, as far as performing live, it would definitely had some hiccups to get acclimated to, you know, our first two tours, you know. But back when I was just playing guitar in other bands, I was doing, like, vocal covers and stuff on YouTube, and I always tried to sing in my free time, and it was never very professional or trained or orchestrated properly. But once this band, you know, started and I decided that I wanted to front the band and I wanted to sing, not just, like, write the music, I, you know, had to start taking it more seriously and, you know, read and watch videos and take lessons and stuff and, you know, ask around, like, for advice and stuff like that.
What was the weirdest thing you learned while training yourself to be a better singer?
I definitely learned that I need to do more cardio and that I was not in good a shape as I thought I was, and that I definitely wasn't as good as I thought I was, especially when it comes to not so much the vocal performance in itself, but my physical performance as a front man. You know, that's equally important, especially in the high energy, heavy kind of music that we play. So that definitely took some getting used to, that kind of confidence and that power and that strong cadence on stage.
The single is The Worst in Me. Tell me a little bit about what went into writing this song and creating it.
That song has a pretty cool backstory. That's one of the first songs that was ever really written for this band. Just Nick Raffillo and I started it back in, like, the EP days. And funny enough, it didn't even make it to the EP because we could not come up with, like, vocal melodies and patterns for it. And we just wanted to get the EP done, you know, but we had this crazy cool instrumental. So the Worst in Me kind of just, it sat in the dark in a Dropbox file for a couple years until we all got together and started working on the full length. And then when Vincent heard that instrumental, he was like, yo, this is, like, so good. Like, we need to put this on the album. We need to find a way to put vocals on this. And, you know, after I explained to him that we couldn't, we all just sat down and collaborated. And that was one of the songs on the album that literally everybody, like, put their heads in together and brought it to life. And that ended up being the most popular one on the album so far. So pretty cool.
Tell me a little bit about the song Exit Wounds.
Exit Wounds was the first song ever written for Bad Omens back when we had a different name, obviously, and we had the EP. I wrote that, again, when I was, you know, 17, like, sleeping on the couch with the interface, and I was listening to a lot of My Ticket Home and, like, Limp Bizkit kind of stuff at the time, just, like, heavy, like, tough, kind of bouncy stuff, and that song started just with the breakdown in that song. I was, like, doing a lot of fret noise and, like, noise kind of stuff, and just, I wrote the lyrics over, like, this build-up, and just, like, hit really hard, you know, and I was like, this is such a cool breakdown, I want to write a whole song around this, and that's kind of how that song originated. But that song lyrically, it's kind of like a spiteful driven song, but it's also an underdog song, you know, because I wanted to have a positive message, but it was written out of spite, and it's just it's kind of an FU to, like, the last band that I was in prior to this band because of, like, some stuff that went down between us, and you know, the whole song is like a look at me now kind of vibe. So that's, it's funny how things turn out, I guess.
It's a perfect name for it too. Exit,
yeah,
Wounds, like, exit.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your experiences on Warped Tour. You guys, you know, you just jumped on this a couple days ago at this point. How are you enjoying the experience so far?
I really like it. You know, it's cool. We're in a bandwagon, which is we usually tour in a van, so it's really nice. You know, having this luxury in the space, especially when you have to sit in the heat all day before or after your set. And you know, everyone's really nice. Like, everyone's been accommodating, and it's definitely took some getting adjusted, like getting used to. You know, when we first got on, because of how high, you know, fast paced the environment is. But I think now here on day three, we're totally locked in, and we're good. And, you know, we're gonna have a great rest of the tour.
Any advice for anything you've learned in these past 3 days that you would pass on to a new band that's jumping on Warped Tour for the first time?
Get up early as you can, you know, you be ready to work, I guess, you know, like, it's especially right now we're on the Full Sail stage, so we have to bring our gear every day back and forth. So sometimes the walk is pretty far, and it's something that right in the morning, if you get here, you know, even a second late, you got to be ready to just get out and grab it and just, you know, book it. You know, there's no time to really be lazy and just goof off or goof around. So my best advice is just, you know, take it seriously or don't be here.
All right, Warped Tour wraps August 6th. What do you guys have planned in the works after you're done with this?
We have potential tours coming up in the fall, a few offers. Personally, you know, I think all of us kind of agree we really, really want to just get into writing the next album right now. You know, we're all very anxious about it, especially considering that, you know, a large majority of our current album, even though it's only been out a year, you know, was written 3+ years ago. So some of us are very bored of it, you know, me especially. And so hopefully, you know, depending on how the touring situation turns out at the end of the year, you know, we'll mostly just have time to get back in the studio and start writing and maybe even shoot some music videos for our current album still.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I always think about when I see bands and they put out an album and the fans are always like, oh, that's great. When's the next one? You know, like, it's been out for a week and they're already, you know, I never think about the musicians getting bored of the songs that they play, wanting to create new things instead of having to, like, rest on their laurels. But I guess you're young and...
People have short attention spans, you know, like the fans and the musicians, you know, because we put so much time and we listen to these songs so many times. We play them so many times, you know, we get the mixes back from the album and we hear them so many times, you know, making notes. And, you know, by the time we get to tour on it a few times, we're like, all right, let's write some new music. You know, like, we're very ready to get into the next one. And that's something that, you know, we're very excited to do, because Jolly and I both, you know, we produce and write for other bands, like as work outside of the band. And we just love writing music. Like, it's on par with performing for us when it comes to, like, our favorite aspects of being musicians. So we're very anxious to write already.
Well, I'm very anxious to see you guys get up on that stage and kick ass today. No Sebastian, Bad Omens, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Hard Drive DL. Check out more. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app or visit harddriveradio.com.
Hello, Hard Drive Radio listeners. Paulie here, hanging backstage at the beautiful Jones Beach Amphitheater for Warped Tour 2017. Joined now by Matty Mullins of Memphis Made Fire. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. How are you guys enjoying your Warped Tour experience so far?
Honestly, this has been my favorite Warped Tour yet, you know, and the lineup is different than years that we've done in the past. Just a lot of really cool throwback bands and some cool up-and-coming bands, and it's just been fun. It's been very eclectic, and the crowd's been amazing.
I was very excited when I saw Gwar was on the bill. I'm like,
heck,
that's insane. What's the band you're most excited to play with for this run?
I think it's cool to be on the tour with Hatebreed, you know, just a legendary band that we get to play with. And outside of this environment, I'm not sure if we'd ever get the chance to tour with them ever again. So it's just cool to do that. And we've got a bunch of friends on the tour, too. So it's kind of like, you know, rock and roll summer camp.
That's a perfect way to put it. And I always like to ask, you know, what's the hardest thing about doing Warped Tour? But everyone always says the same thing, is the heat. So.
Yeah, for sure the heat. Yeah. You know, because our sets are nice and short. You know, there's catering 3 times a day. There's not a whole lot of struggle outside of the heat. You know, it's like in Vegas and Phoenix, it was 117, 118 degrees, and it's just chaos. But, you know, it's a great, great summer tour. Very well run.
So you guys have a new song out now. It's called Virus. Tell us a little bit about making it.
Yeah, so me and Kellen, our guitarist, we write everything together. And we wanted to work with Kane Churko, who's done a bunch of great records in Vegas. And we were like, let's go down and try out a song with him, you know. And we went down, and in 4 days we wrote and recorded Virus with him. And we were so excited about it. Label's so excited about it. Management, everybody, they're like, we just need to drop this as a single right now. You know, and I think it is a good introduction for where the band is headed in the future. So we're really stoked about it. It's called Virus. There's a music video for it out now, too. So check it out.
And actually, who directed that video? Because I think you worked with him on other ones too, right?
Multiple videos, yeah. Caleb Mallory is his name, and he did a video for Stay the Course for us. He did a video for Carry On. He did the This Lad I Hold, and now he's also done Virus. And we keep going back to him because he's that good, you know? He's awesome.
When I watched the video, I remember it was like, oh, this is so like 28 Days Later. It's freaking awesome with the blood and the rage and everything.
Yeah, man, it's very cool. All the videos that he does are like little mini movies, you know, very cinematic. We love working with him. We will in the future.
I love seeing his work, so I hope that you do, because I can't wait to see what the next thing's going to be.
Definitely.
It was so weird for me because I remember it's like, you know, This Lad I Hold just came out, you know, late last year, so it's not even like 6 months old as an album yet, and to put out another song, it's like, were you guys just like that itching to get more music written?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mixture of us just always wanting to be productive writing and recording, but also, I mean, like, I think that rock is going to start following the trend of hip-hop and just putting out music all the time, you know? I don't think, like, dude, Nickelback's new record came out the other day, sold 40,000 copies first week. It's awful, you know what I mean? It's like, no one's buying records anymore. Everyone's streaming, so if we can just give them singles consistently, I think that's a great way to stay in the spotlight, great way to continue to have attention, and I think that's what we're going to continue to do, just always be putting out new music because the fans like it that way, you know?
I mean, they like it enough to get you nominated for an APMA for This Lad I Hold. I mean, that's got to feel real good.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. We, music video of the year, I think the majority of that award goes to Caleb, you know, for being so rad at making music videos. But we're just stoked to be there and hang out with everybody. And whether we win or not, just cool to be nominated for it, yeah.
So while you're on Warped Tour, not only are you playing on stage and doing signings and, you know, meeting your fans, you're also doing these workshops, you and Jake, I think, too. Tell me a little bit about those and what's that about.
Yeah, so I teach one called Developing Your Band, and it's for anybody that wants to get started in the music industry or start a band, and a lot of the things to look out for, some things that I ran into that I wish I would have known about before I started, and just trying to help better guide people onto a path of success for music. And, hopefully they'll learn from my mistakes and they can walk away with some valuable knowledge.
So this is not like a meet and greet and people just get to hang out. You're actually like teaching these guys.
Some people buy tickets just because they want to come hang out, you know, and if that's the case, it's whatever. I can't stop anybody from doing that. But my goal is to give these kids valuable information that'll help them along their way. Yeah.
There's been a couple of bumps in the road, you know, as any band knows, you know, nothing ever goes perfectly. But I think you guys had a bit of a issue in Spain. Can you tell us what happened there?
There was no issue in Spain. The issue was in America with American Airlines. We got to the airport. They delayed and canceled our flight so many times that we couldn't even get to Spain. And then on the way back, we got delayed and canceled again. So it's like we ended up going to England and playing three shows over there, but we spent like 67 hours in the airport. We were in the airport for longer than we were in England for. And it was just like chaos. We'll never fly American Airlines ever again. I hope someone that works for them hears this. Yeah.
It seems like you're not the only one who said that. They've not been doing well these days.
Everybody we know, everyone that's gotten on a flight with them has had a delay or a cancellation. It's always chaos with them. And they didn't give us a hotel or accommodations or anything. We ended up staying in the airport. They didn't refund us for the flight that we didn't make it to Spain. I mean, we lost so much money not being able to go. So just chaos, yeah.
I feel like, wasn't there a guy who like got his guitar trashed by an airline and then he like wrote a song about them? Is that American too?
I don't know. But I'll also, they ruined our in-ear rack on the way back. We opened up our X32, which controls our in-ears, and the wires were everywhere. Screws were everywhere. Like, they like took it apart and trashed it. It was unlike anything I've ever seen.
That's like not a cheap piece of equipment either.
No, not at all, you know?
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible. I mean, you know, we always ask for, like, the Spinal Tapping moments, like bands, you know, getting lost backstage or something like that. But there are some real horror stories out there. I mean, is this probably, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to you guys as a band?
Oh, no. No. I mean, we've been through the ringer, dude. We left Kellen at a train station in the middle of the night in a blizzard in Moscow, Russia, on accident. We got stuck in Las Cruces, New Mexico when we were a newer band. Our transmission went out. Spent all the money we had on the transmission, so we had to sleep in the hotel parking lot because we couldn't get a hotel and we didn't have a van to sleep in. Ended up having to beg Cracker Barrel to feed us. So yeah, we were there for like a week. But yeah, I mean, dude, it's tough out here, you know? And not for the faint of heart.
Everyone thinks it looks so easy, don't they?
Yeah.
All right, Warped Tour wraps August 6th. What do you guys have planned on the books for the rest of the year for Memphis Mayfire?
We're going to go do a new record, man. Yeah, like we love writing, recording music, putting it out there, so we're going to do that. We're going to go back in with Kane Churko, actually, and do a whole record with him.
And I can't wait to hear it, man. I'm sure your fans can either. That's
Heck
freaking
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if I was supposed to talk about that or not, but now you know. So there you go.
Well, you heard it here first. Right. Maddie Mullins, Memphis Mayfire, man. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course, man.
Me.
Yeah, appreciate you.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.
Hey, everybody. Paulie here. Hard Drive Radio out at Jones Beach for Warped Tour 2017. Hanging out on a couch, relaxing. Eric from I Prevail. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, man. How you been?
I've been fantastic. It's good to see you guys out here.
It's good to be out here, man. It's been a blast so far.
Tell me a little bit about your Warped Tour experience, because you were just telling me this is your first time you guys are doing this run.
Yeah, this is our first time ever doing Warped Tour. A couple of us as kids, you know, showed up to our local Warped Tour for years. So it was an incredible experience to, like, just start off on Warped Tour. The first day on the first stage, you know, just like, wow, this is Warped Tour, holy crap. But yeah, the last couple of weeks has just been kind of what you expected with both sides, like the good and the bad. So it's been a blast seeing a bunch of new kids. Every day I ask who's seen us and who's new, and it always seems like there's two-thirds of the kids are new fans, which is incredible. And then you know, the headaches are the things, like the first couple of days trying to get the wireless packs right and the instrumentals right and the sound right when you only got a 30-minute set and you don't get much of a check. So there's some hurdles to jump, but we've been having a blast overall, man.
Must be almost a break for you guys after coming off that headline tour, just doing a 30-minute set and you're done for the day.
Oh, man, it's great. Yeah, because either way, we do a couple interviews, we go get food, do some signings, and then we do a 30-minute set. If we do it in the morning, then I got all day to drink. If we do it at night, I got all day to sleep. So it's like win-win on either side.
Do you have a favorite moment from the tour so far?
Oh, man, that's tough. Oh man, there's been some great crowds. There's been moments where I turn around on stage and see people that, like, watching us that I had no idea, like, I'd ever, you know, have the attention of, like, caught guy from Silverstein catching our set. What's his name? Jamie from Hatebreed tweeted at us, said he saw our set, and it was the day I was wearing my Hatebreed shirt. I was like, what are the, oh, hell yeah. But those have been some notable moments, just like seeing guys you've been a fan of for years watching your set, and that's just been incredible.
Conversely, do you have a worst moment of the tour so far?
Oh, man. Worst moment. One of our shows, I don't want to say which one, but one of our shows, it was so hot. It was like 115 degrees. We have a computer that's running tracks, and it's just keeping the click track on there. And it got so overheated, it slowed down. So our songs were like almost half the speed that they were supposed to be. And we're just playing along to the click, and we're like, this doesn't feel right. And then I start coming in. I'm like, yep, this isn't right. It's too slow. So in between that song, we killed the computer. It went off click, which is fine, but we don't have monitors to hear ourselves. So it's just like, listen, take your ear out and listen to the drum. It was like old school, like what I used to do in garage bands and stuff. So it was cool. But that was a scary moment for sure. Your first song coming out there and already having technical issues. Yeah.
Lifelines has been out for, I think, about 8 months now at this point. So, I mean, there's got to be a point where everyone who's seen you is already, like, they know the material. They're singing probably every word back to you right now. Is that your experience?
Oh, absolutely. We were lucky. First couple, you know, weeks of tours when we just started out with the album, we already had a bunch of kids singing all the singles. Now it's like we come around and there's some songs we put in this 6-song, 7-song set list that we were like, in the beginning, never thought that would be one of the more popular songs. Like Pull the Plug, we thought that was just going to be like a good song to fill in on a headlining set, but now that's one of our main songs on our set list, because just seeing the amount of kids jump and sing along to that, it's just been unreal. So it's cool to see songs that we didn't think become the cream of the crop rising to the top already. So it's great. It's cool.
Have your fans started hounding you with the dreaded question about new music yet?
Man, I feel like after the first week of sales, we already had people asking for a new record. But we've been getting that the last couple months, and we got some time off in the winter. I mean, we're going to take some time off for the holidays and stuff, and I'm sure we'll get some writing done around then, but nothing yet. But we've been getting badgered already.
The latest single is Alone. Tell me a little bit about what went into creating that song.
Very emotional song. It's based off all of us have been through that, and especially through the 2 years of touring before Lifelines. A couple of us had really long, serious relationships, and after being on the road, they just having those dissolve, and it was rough. It's really tough, because it's like you get to live your dream on one hand, but it's not given to us. So we're still busting our butt trying, working around the clock trying to be better. So it's when you're busting your butt for your dreams, and on the other hand, you have someone who you thought was supporting you and was there through it all that just cuts and leaves. It's really difficult. So recording that song was an emotional one, but I think we got all our emotions off and put it out there well enough. So
it's the closest you guys come to a ballad at this point, right?
Yeah, basically.
There's been, I think, 4 singles off this album now. Do you have any plans for a fifth?
Not too sure. I think we're going to Alone and Come and Get It, two opposite ends of the spectrum. But those have been doing really well for us. I think we're just going to have fun with the rest of the touring this cycle, and then see what happens in the winter.
Tell me a quick story about Come and Get It.
Come and Get It. So we started off with the EP and that cover we did, and everyone wanted to run their mouth about how they thought we got here and how we did this wrong, or how we were doing it wrong, or how we're just whatever, everything, every name under the book in the book. But it's just a song that goes out, says, I'm doing what I want, I bust my ass for it, and keep running your mouth, and you'll keep staying in your parents' basement. That's fine with me. One less dummy walking the earth with me. You stay down in your basement.
Anyone who's like, oh, talk about I Prevail, and, oh, that's that band that covered Taylor Swift. I'm like, no, man. Like, listen to the actual music that they make. Fucking awesome.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You guys have had a few lineup changes, I think, since last we spoke. Tell me a little bit about you. You have a couple new guys, right? Like Gabe and Eli, right?
Gabe and Eli, yeah. Gabe's a good friend of ours, and he's just been crushing it behind the kit. Phenomenal drummer. Then Eli is just a good friend of ours. When we came to the point where we needed a bassist, we all looked at each other. We toured with him before. He's from Metro Detroit area. And we all looked around. We're like, Eli? Yeah, Eli. He's a clear cut. So I don't think we haven't sounded as tight. I don't think we've ever sounded tighter. That's what I'm trying to say. These guys are incredibly talented.
Is it important to keep the band kind of based in that Detroit area and that Detroit mindset?
I think for now, yeah. We're no matter what's happened the last 3 or 4 years, nothing feels different to us, except we're not at home. We still feel like those local Michigan blue collar dudes that, like, I used to work factories and work at bars and stuff. So now I feel like if I go home, I can just pick up that job again, and I think that keeps that humbleness and that same mentality that we've been trying to keep through these years. So I think that's a big deal for us. I just love the suburb living, man. I hate living in the city. I hate, everything about it. So I think we do our best writing and we perform our best when we have our relaxation points, being back at, good old Michigan.
Did you guys just come back from Europe?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually did a small UK run. We did 3 festival days at Slam Dunk, and then we did a headliner over in London.
Was your first time there?
Yeah, it was the first time there. It was a blast. Didn't know what to expect. The 3 festival days, it was like the third of 6 biggest stages, and every day they had to shut the room out 10 minutes before we played because there was too many kids there already. It was massive. And then our headliner, same case, we sold it out in I think it was like a couple days or something, or a day or something after the tickets went on sale. So it was incredible. I don't know how I can accurately describe that feeling, man. It was great.
It's good to see you guys got some traction overseas. Sometimes it's hard for bands to, you know, break across the ocean, but I love that you're playing big festivals and you're selling out already. That's such a good sign.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, we didn't know what to expect, man. We were nervous. We went to Australia right before that too, and we played seven sold out shows, and we didn't know what to expect. We just, you know, you got your numbers online, and those have been proven fairly accurate for us. Like, okay, we have this many fans here, and that we make an event page, and yeah, okay, this many people say they're going to come, and that's about how many people we get. So it's been pretty great. And then we see overseas, we're like, well, we don't know how to judge it. We don't know how to, you know, right? You know, we're not sure how well it's going to be. But then we get over there and sell out. It's like, wow, like how incredibly lucky we are, man. It's crazy.
It shows, man. And, you know, you guys work really hard for it, so I'm glad to see you doing so well. Speaking of that recognition, the APMAs are coming up, and I think Steve is nominated for Best Guitarist.
Yeah, Steve's nominated for Best Guitarist, and then Lifeline's nominated for Album of the Year. So thanks, man. We're excited. I'm happy for Steve, man. This is a big accomplishment for all of us, a milestone. Even if we don't walk away with anything, it doesn't matter. It's the having our name up there with all those other great musicians and incredible albums, and it's all that matters. You know, that's all that matters. But it's such an honor, so it's cool. We're stoked for him, and we're stoked for the album. So we'll see how it does.
Do you guys get a day off? You get to go and hang out at the APMAs and party a little bit?
Oh yeah. We actually, I think it's like 12 days in a row of shows, and then one day off, and then like 17 shows. But that one day's off is actually the AP award, so it's like not really a day off. But I'll be drinking a lot, so it'll be my day off.
I think Warped Tour wraps August 6th. What do you guys have planned for the rest of the year?
Well, August 6th, we drive back home and end up in Michigan on my birthday. I'm not going to remember that day, so that'll be fun. But we're going to take some time off. I think we got about a month or so off, and we're just hanging out, relaxing, and start rehearsing for something we're about to announce after Warped Tour. So, yeah, well, nonstop, man, nonstop.
Eric, I Prevail, man. It's so great to see you. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me. It's always a blast, man.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.